So next up we have Carl Clischer, who's involved in teacher training, the IBM KidSmart Early Learning Program. He's been involved in that for 6 years now, which is when it's all started.
Yes.
And Carl's today going to share with you some of his experiences in the early childhood sector and the feedback that he gets on the work that he's doing. Mm-hmm. So if you can please welcome Carl.
Thank you very much. Volume okay? Yep. Okay, so my name is Carl Clutch. I work for IBM, and I've been involved in the KidSmart rollout program, as Tabitha said, for about 6 years now. Because I work for a large multinational, and I need to find the directional keys here. There we go. And of course, it's not doing it on the screen, Tabitha. Thank you. Essentially, because I've worked for IBM so long, I have lots and lots of training on how to do presentations, so this is my standard. I'm going to show you an agenda, which is tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I told you, that kind of stuff.
And it is.
I'm still struggling with the keys tab. I've made a mistake. Thought I'll just take down. Oh, okay. Technology, it's wonderful stuff. Right. So, this is, I don't have to stand here and look at that because I can't see this one. What is the KidSmart unit? Essentially, it's a self-contained unit. The computer comes in a large plastic case. There are reasons for that. It's securable. That's actually this year's model up there on the left there, so it is quite large. It takes up a fair amount of space in the kindergarten, which causes some challenges. The keyboard there is a little flat keyboard. It's made for us by IntelliKeys, who do a lot of accessibility type of stuff. Mouse on the right, there's a little microphone there, and a nice little seat, which is a communal seat. You can get at least two children on there, perhaps more. It is Windows-based. The main program on there is a thing called KidDesk. There's a group of five programs. KidDesk is the main one. That provides a secure desktop environment for the children to actually have a bit of a play around in without actually damaging Windows. I mean, we're talking 3 to 5 year olds here. So, you know, there are some challenges in utilizing full Windows desktop. It comes with a number of programs. Millie's Math House, Bailey's Bookhouse. Anyone who's been in the education industry will kind of recognize the names. These programs have been around for a period of time. They are open-ended programs. They don't restrict you. They're all positive reinforcement, that kind of a thing. We've been operating in New Zealand for about 6 years. The program itself has been worldwide for 8. We had some challenges with our local Ministry of Education for a couple of years, but we'll get onto that in a minute. We do about 100 units a year, 90 to 100 units a year. So the map there shows you the distribution that we've actually got in the country at the moment. As you can see, it follows the main population centres, and you know it's pretty good from our perspective. We're targeting the lower decile kindergartens. So this is deciles 1 to 3. We covered most of those in the first couple of years of operation, and we then expanded the program out to childcare centres, etc., just to get the stuff out there. Mainly installed by IBM volunteers. Basically, we send the units out, and then we get an IBM volunteer to go out and assemble the unit. There's usually a queue for that sort of a thing. We've got one guy who's done most of the Kaitaia area, but he basically gets on his motorcycle and just drives around the Northland for a week or so assembling units, and the kids think it's great. Okay. If you really want to follow the actual official website, that's that URL at the bottom here. Okay, experiences. There were some challenges, as you might expect. We did do a pilot in the first year one rollout, so we got some interesting statements there. Computers have no place in early childhood. You know, that was kind of an interesting one. The one that we got, I mentioned earlier about the Ministry of Education, we don't think the kids would like it. Okay, intriguing. It's just a marketing ploy by the company of your choice. Well, yeah, okay. It's too solitary. I'd like to point you at the photograph there. There's nothing solitary about these machines. Computers being solitary is a very adult-type perception. Children, you watch children on the computer and they just go berserk. One of the things we then got within a week of the pilot was, how do I connect to the internet? Okay, there's some challenges there, I think. Yes, it's very easy to do, but do you actually want to do that in a kindergarten? And, you know, what are the rules you place around that? Next one, classic, can you give us a copy of Microsoft Office? Well, actually, no, we can't, because that's a copyright violation and we don't do that. But there were those and other real concerns. So the question we then had was, well, what do we do to address these concerns? And one of the things that we kind of thought about was there was the UK Ministry of Education put £500,000 into ICT into UK schools, and they bought smart boards, projectors, whole raft of bits and pieces. And after a couple of years, what was discovered was most of these things were still sitting in cupboards. So they spent all the money on the equipment and absolutely nothing on integration. How do you integrate that into the environment? So basically, these things took up huge amounts of space. Teachers couldn't be bothered using them, so they just didn't, effectively. So we figured that doing a joint early childhood, or working with the early childhood sector doing a training program was a pretty good idea. And that way we'd cover the pedagogy of the actual teaching, as well as some of the technical aspects of the computers. So, in conjunction with the New Zealand Kindergarten Association, etc., we started doing tours. So every year we would do a tour. We'd roll the units out. A week later we would go around and we would do the training. The initial training set was about 5 hours. You'd get huge amounts of pushback from the teachers. Why do I need 5 hours to learn about a computer? We were quite pleased at some of the responses we got at the end of that 5 hours. So there was a bit of a turnaround there. We don't necessarily need to do a lot of the pedagogy stuff now. We're 6 years down the line, and there's a lot more acceptance of ICT in general in early childhood. So we're down to now about 3 hours of just doing the training. But basically we would cover, what is the value of the unit? How does it fit within your curriculum? How do we address concerns? Because there are concerns. There's concerns about screen time, the amount of screen time the kids have. How do you match that with what goes on in the home life? How do you fulfill the wishes of the parents who may not want their child to use computers for whatever reason? And there are, there's religious reasons and a whole raft of bits and pieces like that. So we would cover all of that. The next one there was technical, basic care and operation. These are electrical components. If you pour water on them, you let the smoke out and they stop working. So, there's just some mechanical things that you have to worry about. Why it is the way it is. It is a large plastic case. A lot of kindergartens, they don't actually have the space to put something that big in there. So they were saying, well, can I take the computer out? We kind of recommended not. We know that our children are confident and capable learners, but if you are a teacher in a kindergarten, you've got 45 children in there, you've got two or three teachers in there, their role is to teach. It's not to maintain their IT infrastructure. They don't have to, go picking Play-Doh out of the CD drive every 5 minutes. They don't have to reboot them. So it's inside this big plastic case. And as I said, the Kid Desk program provides kind of like a secure desktop. It stops the children, as one kindergarten did, they drag, if you drag stuff into the trash can on Windows desktop, it makes a funny noise. So, you get down there to fix the computer and the only icon on the desktop is the trash can. It's like, it gets a bit difficult to run. How the supplied programs work, there's a manual, like yay thick, that comes with this thing. But of course, as everyone has time to read the manuals. We all learn about all this stuff. So we just felt a bit more of an interactive thing, do some of the basics, give them some ideas on how to move forward. That would be a really good thing. So putting on my second hat, which is a member of the New Zealand Open Source Society, we thought, well, I'll do this, we'll do the training, and I will use that to surreptitiously... just stretching? Surreptitiously infiltrate the minds of the youth. So we do an introduction to open source. One program that we do actually demonstrate and get them to load is TuxPaint, because that's a really neat program to run. We tend to lose them at that point. I can then rabbit on for the next, hour and a half and be completely ignored by all the teachers who are playing with TuxPaint. And we then, because we just don't have time to do everything, but I demonstrate some of those programs down the bottom there, because, if you show people... I mean, if you just give people a CD, running out of time. If you just give people a CD, they're just not going to, they're generally not going to look at it. You know, teachers today just spend so much time, you know, doing other stuff other than teaching. Right, so this is what we basically give them. Need to talk faster. Open source software. We mentioned TuxPaint, the GIMP, which is, you know, Adobe Photoshop without the cost. OpenOffice is the key one. We've got a concept in New Zealand of Te Whariki. You know, parents and whānau are being involved in the child's education. One of the things that we basically say to them, you know, copy of Microsoft Office. I can only use it on one machine. It costs an awful lot. I can't share it. Here's a copy of the Open Education Disk, which has a lot of programs on it. You can cut this as many times as you like, give it away to whoever you want. So which one, you know, if you are providing your parents with Microsoft Word format documents, you're assuming that they've got the money to buy a legitimate copy of Microsoft Word. Doesn't necessarily happen. You know, we're in decile 1, 2, and 3. You can give that to your parents. You can cut that as many times as you like, and that's a really good thing. It actually fits with the education philosophy of sharing quite well. I think the GPL is a very good match for that kind of stuff. Audacity, Firefox and Thunderbird, you know, secure browsers. Box pop-ups was the first browser to do that. IE does it now, but, you know, they're just slow. So if you're talking about something that provides a secure environment or at least attempts to provide a secure environment when you're browsing the internet, that's a big plus. TrueCrypt, we suggest that they use for password protect the USB keys so they've got all the child's profiles on it. If somebody loses the key in the street, who's got that information? It's just these things that they don't kind of think about. Stellarium and Celestia are just magical programs. Stellarium is an absolute gem. If you haven't had a look at it, then at least go. A planetarium in a box. You know, if you can have a projector up against the ceiling and just display the night sky on the ceiling of the kindergarten, it's just brilliant. These are just some of the samples that we go through. So GIMP, we show them how to cut and paste, crop a photograph, do a nice little wavy outline on it, make the photograph look pretty good. We then go through and demonstrate OpenOffice. It's just finding things that they're comfortable with in Microsoft Word. The big one was WordArt. How do I do WordArt? How do I do big fonts? Well, actually, it's called FontWorks in OpenOffice. Works just as well, if not better. And here's a little icon down the bottom to do that. How do I rotate photographs in there? Well, you can't do it directly in Impress, but you can copy them to draw, rotate, and then cut and paste. And so we're just demonstrating what's actually going on in there. Audacity, absolute gem. During the presentations, I actually get to sing SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm going to spare you the thought of that. I'm not going to spare the thought, I'm going to spare the actual. But so with Audacity, it's not only can the kids record their own tunes, they can do multiple layers, overlays, whole shebang, cut it to a CD, take it home and impress their parents. As parents, you would love that, of course. But there's other things. There's talking books that you used to get from the education department, but they're on cassette tapes. You know, cassette tapes, every time you're on a cassette tape, it just takes a little bit. You know, after 15 years of this, the tapes are very, very faint. So use Audacity, record onto CD or something, and you've now got that talking book back again. You can even record your own stories, load them into a PowerPoint presentation or OpenOffice presentation or into a Movie Maker, whatever you like. Oh! Here we go. Summary. Last foil. What we try and get across to the teachers is that ICT should support the curriculum, not the other way around. I mean, within the IT industry, we just have this thing, you know, these bright, shiny things. Well, actually, the rest of the world doesn't really care. You know, they want to use these tools. You've got digital cameras. What else can you do with it? Digital cameras, microscopes. You know, you can see little stick insects projected on the wall. You know, just magic stuff. Portfolios, kiosks, screen shows. The kids can take their information away with them. Whole raft of bits. Hands-on experience is a great tool. You know, I hate to use the word sales there, but it kind of fits. Number one request we get from the forums is, can we please have... You know, these guys have been there for like 5 hours. Oh, can we have some more time, please? Well, okay. Number two request is a follow-up session. I would dearly love to do that. I have no idea how to do it, but it would be a good thing. And as we all know, open source software is just invaluable. When you actually see or show people how this stuff works and what can be done with it, You know, they're right on board and away they go. And that's me. I've just got links to be in there. Right. Yada, yada, yada.
Thank you, Carl. I was going to give you two choices. You can thank him for the presentation or thank him for not singing.
It's a purely donation program. You can't actually physically buy them. How much do they actually cost? Around about $4,000. But because we no longer own the software company and we can't convert the programs, basically. I would love to do it on something else, but yes, we made the mistake a few years ago of selling. River Deep is the company that made the software. We sold that out. The person who purchased that is not actually making it available other than through a leasing agreement, so we've lost the opportunity. That would be.
Second question. You said you were promoting the Open Education Desk and encouraging recipients to then give it to parents. Do you have any sort of idea of the take-up of that? Has that spread? Is that going well?
No, unfortunately, I don't. I don't get much feedback there. But even after 6 years, a lot of people in the education industry, don't actually know of open source. One or two do, but I'm still surprised at the number of people that don't. But when they work out what the license is and how that works, I think one school they asked if they could cut CDs and sell it at their school fair. So I said, well, as long if you're recovering the cost of the CD for $5, then. So there's lots of ideas coming out.
So if I can ask Carl to be available in the next break if anyone else has any questions for him.